How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Tom Allen.
And me, Susie Ruffle.
And I am late again today.
Tom, you are, but you are a vision in blue.
Thank you for noticing that. I've got a blue shirt on with my new blue blazer.
It looks very nice.
Thanks.
And your blue eyes. And you've got your blue eyes in.
Don't you make my... Oh no, brown eyes blue.
Brown eyes blue, but close.
Close. It was so stressful. I got the train, my normal train, supposed to go to London Bridge. Oh, they just decided they don't go to London Bridge anymore. So I had to get off at Waterloo East. Then I had to get another train. Take me back on myself, but the train I was going to get was late, so I ran across and got another one. And then when I got out at London Bridge, there was a clear exit onto Tooley Street, and there's a man standing there going, no, you can't walk out of here, you have to go round. So I had to go round all these corners and bullshit.
Tom, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and I said, well, can't I just go down there? There's no one really walking up there. He said, no, it's the...
law.
It was the law. I was like, oh, I'm so sick of this city. You know, you're just like stressed out and tired and just like, oh.
Yeah. I think that's when you know that you've been in London long enough. When you're like, yeah. I love this city. I hate this city. I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, I did feel like that. I was like, look, I can see the daylight. Can't I just go out there? I should have just kept walking really and gone, okay, next time I will. Bye.
Do you think that's what confident people do?
I think it's what, yeah, slightly smarmy people do, isn't it?
It's the dream. That's who we want to be.
A smile. Oh, that's all right. Well, I'm halfway out now, so... But I'll do it next time, I promise.
Maybe would you put on that sort of Mockney accent as well?
Probably. It's very endearing.
It is very endearing, Tom.
People like to be spoken to in a Cockney accent.
That's true. Why don't you use your Cockney accent more?
Well, because...
Apples and pears and that sort of thing?
Apples and pears and all that. Well, as you saw in the car on Saturday, I do sometimes.
You do. This is the thing, guys. Tom drove to a tour show.
It was so far.
It was so far. Tom, do you want to let everyone know the hours?
5 hours there. 6 hours back.
Oh, and I slept for some of it. What a terrible
Susie
friend.
Susie was asleep for most of it.
I wasn't asleep for most of it.
Half of it.
Was it as long as half? Mm. Did I look adorable?
Yeah. Well, I didn't look because I was looking at the road.
Oh, yeah.
Heaven forbid I should fall asleep as well.
No, you're like, oh, she looks cosy. Let me just...
Doesn't she look... Oh, that looks so nice.
Tom, you did such a great job.
I did a great job, didn't I? I'll tell you what I didn't enjoy.
Quite a sad one clap, isn't it?
I'm clapping myself now. Did you know what I didn't enjoy? I think this was just as you were dozing off. Elaine Page comes on in the middle of the night on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
You think, oh, that's a treat. But it was like the worst
Yeah,
songs.
She chose like basically worst songs from Broadway.
Ooh, why won't you come and sit with me?
Oh, was it a bit one of those?
Yeah, it was her like Broadway week. But they weren't, nothing from Broadway I recognised.
And I mean, you're...
I mean, I'm the king of Broadway.
You are. You're Mr. Producer.
Hey, Mr. Producer. I wish I was. But we had a lovely drive.
We had a lovely show. We had a very long drive.
Lovely.
You were a champion.
Well, it was my first one of doing one of those long drives. And
you were marvellous.
It was fun.
I now owe you another long drive.
I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to fall asleep.
You can fall asleep on the way home, not there.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you angry with me?
No.
You sure?
No, it was nice. I was like, oh, look at me driving along in the middle of the night.
With my wife asleep next to me.
My wife asleep next to me.
And our small child in the back.
Like a real grown-up.
Like a real grown-up.
Yeah.
To our house.
Yeah.
To our house in the suburbs.
Oh.
What a lovely life we'd have.
What a lovely life. Now, we wanted to talk this week about grief.
We were going to, yeah.
Susie, tell the listeners what... Well, if you would like to, tell them.
Well, my nan died this week, I was thinking, oh, I probably shouldn't mention it on the podcast. But then I think, well, we mention everything else on the podcast and it's death is just as big a part of life as anything else.
Yeah.
So maybe we should do an episode on grief because I think it's something that I feel like I still don't really understand how I'm feeling. So it happened sort of 5 days ago now and yeah. I was really close to my nan. She was... awesome. I loved her to bits. And it's hard to sort of, there's a couple of things, hard to sort of know what you're supposed to feel like or what you're supposed to do. And I've had to carry on working because we've had shows in and then
You've been very good. I mean, you haven't really cancelled anything.
I cancelled a show, but then that's how I make my money and how I make my living, and I don't have any money in the bank at all. So I've got to work, and also my nan was enormously proud of what I did, and she loved that I was a comic.
Yeah, you said she was very keen for you not to like cancel things.
Well, she sort of knew that it was coming, and so she sort of said to me, like, you know, don't go getting too upset. You know, you've got to carry on with your work, carry on working hard.
Oh.
You know, which was lovely.
Yeah.
But it's a strange emotion, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is, isn't it? And I think I remember, like, when my grandmother died, I was very close to her. And this was sort of 12 years ago, maybe longer now.
You were only three.
I was 3 years old, full head. I did have hair. And I remember feeling that sort of confusion, a sort of, not confusion, but just sort of a nothingness, really.
Yeah, sort of a lack of someone,
yeah,
rather than a...
And it's almost kind of impossible for us to understand as human beings that someone's there and they're not there in a way, I think.
Yeah, it was really, obviously we're still sort of dealing with it and still, but it still seems sort of bizarre that it's happened, even though she was 94, nearly 95, that we were so... And everybody sort of knew it was happening, and my mum and my aunt were amazing and sort of nursed her right into the end of her life and were just wonderful to her, and meant that she had sort of she wanted to die at home, and that's exactly what happened. She died in her bed, which was lovely. But it's just hard to sort of go, oh, like we Nan lived in a council flat and we now have to give that flat back.
Yes, I didn't realise how suddenly they kind of...
Yeah, like 6 days later, they were like, yeah, you need to drop the keys off 6 days afterwards. And we were like, I mean, she's literally just died. And they were so difficult. Oh,
were they?
Well, just like, oh, we're sorry for your loss. Was it 6 days? Well, no. She died on the Wednesday and they wanted the flat cleared for Monday morning.
Oh, good God.
And you're like, I mean, her body's literally just been taken away Wednesday night.
What, they phoned, did they, to say that?
No, like Mum got in touch with them and they were like, okay, well then you have this many hours. It's ridiculous. And that's like my nan's whole life for the last nearly 30 years in that house.
Yeah.
So that's been a really weird thing of going through. I tell you one thing. She was not the Marie Kondo way of living.
Oh, she liked to keep a few things.
She wasn't a hoarder. But, I mean, I found a bank statement from 1997. It's like, Nan, throw shit out. No one needs to know it was in your TSB.
They all, I know, but people kept things. People keep things because they're not sure what they need to keep and stuff.
That's the thing. And so now we've
I do it too.
What do you keep?
All bank statements and things like that.
You've got all of your old bank statements?
Yeah. From doing my accounts.
Yeah, I suppose so. How long after doing your accounts are you allowed to throw them away?
I don't know. I think it's 6 years. But I might be wrong.
But I mean, Nanny had kept hers for 20.
And she wasn't self-employed.
She wasn't doing her accounts and she hadn't been working for a long time at that point.
Well, you never know what you might need to refer back to.
It's also that thing of, there was a thing that was in the media maybe 10, 15 years ago about people stealing your identities. And I think old people became very concerned
very
about that.
Very concerned about
that. So anything
that
was on with my nan's name and address on, my name would immediately rip up and like into like tiny bits.
Tiny bits in a month.
Yeah. Or keep it.
Very wise.
No one stole her identity. So.
No one did. Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
And you've had to go through the thing. So you've been clearing through the.
Yeah. So I went home yesterday and just sort of tried to help my mum because I feel sort of useless because, of course, I live up here and it's really difficult sometimes when you live away from your family and stuff. And we had like the mammoth task of clearing her flat. And then you want to keep so many things.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, well, that's her. That's that's her apron.
Yeah.
That's what she used to cook with. That was her pen that she did her crosswords with. And you just go, it's just a pen. It's just a pen that she held. It's not a big deal. But like, well, no.
Yeah, it's strange,
like
isn't
it is.
It? Yeah.
But then
we still have things from my nan.
Yeah.
Very aprons.
Yeah. Did your nan bake?
Yes, actually, she got me into baking.
Do you bake?
Well,
I know
got
you
me
cook.
To cooking through baking.
Are you a good baker?
Well, when I went on the Great British Bake Off Extra Slice, I made a Victoria sponge for Michelle Roux Jr.
Clang.
And I don't mean to brag, but it was so good that there was nothing funny about it. They had to cut it from the show.
Is that true, Tom?
That's a true story.
Tom, okay, so how long have we been friends? Six, 7 years?
Easily.
You've never brought me around a slice of Victoria sponge.
Well, I don't make it very often.
Well, you ought to.
All right, I'll make some.
For God's sake.
Where should I make some for? Maybe I'll try and make... It's nice because I find it very relaxing, a bit of baking.
Do you? Mm. Would you put on music in the background?
Sometimes. We have the television on.
Oh.
Did your nan bake?
Yeah, you could sort of stand from your kitchen.
Oh, yes.
Do you have a TV in the kitchen?
We do, yes.
Yeah.
And
so you could watch the Barefoot Contessa whilst
you'd
baking.
Along. Yeah.
I mean, that'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
That would be a lovely thing to do. You'd have to be quite quick, though, quite nimble.
Oh, yeah.
To make sure you had everything to hand.
Yeah, you might want to have it on catch-up as well.
Yes, well, that television doesn't have catch-up. But anyway.
Oh, Tom, I'm so sorry. I didn't realise.
It's just, you know, the remote. It used to be kept in a plastic bag, a clear plastic bag.
Your remote did?
Mum and Dad did for the kitchen television.
So it wouldn't get greasy?
Yeah. But then they've
That's
done away
really
with it.
That's really funny.
But that is the sort of thing they like to do, like little life hacks they've made up.
Oh, I would love to see the book of life hacks from the Allens.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any others?
Probably, but like all of them too mad and...
Yeah, more about dressing like pirates, like last week.
A lot about dressing like pirates.
But of course.
I don't think what Dad has. Dad's life hack is keep everything, keep every bit of wood you're ever given and keep it in the garage. That's Dad's life hack.
Right.
What you'd ever use it for, no one knows.
No one knows, but you might want to need to build a raft.
I mean, you'd think so. But I mean... Build an ark.
Oh, well, handy to know.
If that happens.
If the rain starts coming down, I'll be quickly on my way to Bromley.
I'll be there, banging together bits of cladding. Let's try and
Love
build
it.
Out. But did your nan bake?
She did. She was really...
Oh, yes, you brought in some cake, I think, that she
Yeah, you've probably eaten her cake.
Yeah.
Bread pudding.
I remember we talked about the bread pudding.
Yeah, or like an almond sponge.
Oh, I love
that sort of thing.
Oh.
Like a Bakewell.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so we've been going through all of her things. So now that's like a really weird thing that sort of, firstly, there's this weird sort of gallows humour about everything.
Yes. Yeah.
So when she was really unwell a couple of days before she died, and she said to my auntie, I can't feel my legs. I think that might mean that I'm about to die. And my nan said, no, I don't think that's it. I think you're okay. Like, you know, you are not well, but I don't think that means anything. And then my auntie went out and made a cup of tea, then came back in and looked at my nan and went, dead yet? And nan went, no, not yet. And so there was I think everyone sort of knew what was going on and no one was trying to put on a brave face for anybody else. It was just, I also think at 94 there's no element of feeling robbed.
No,
and I think it must be unbelievably hard to have lost someone much, much, much younger.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were going through all of her things and like, I mean, me and my cousin Jodie yesterday counted 51 scarves.
Oh, wow.
I mean, everybody must have been concerned that she had a cold neck.
I mean...
There must have been a rumour about a cold neck.
You have to be careful with a neck. You have to be careful you don't get cold.
And
silk scarves?
Silk and like ones that people had knitted or ones that people had bought.
Oh, lovely.
And like just so much stuff.
Well...
But the accumulation of 94 years.
Yeah.
And so we found like... all these postcards that my granddad had written to her from when he was in the Second World War.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Oh, well, of course you'd keep that.
Yeah, and because he was a British engineer, no one could know where he was because part of his role was, like, blowing up things. So, like, Nazis couldn't follow the British troops and stuff. Exactly that, yeah. And so he'd just be real vague, like, here I am in France. Okay, love you lots.
Wow.
Jack. And so we found all of these... I don't know, it's just sort of this weird thing. And it also makes you start thinking of sort of your own mortality, doesn't it?
Of course, yeah, of course.
Because you sort of start going, oh, well, this is... I don't know, but it's...
It's to all of us.
Yeah.
And in a way, you know, I think often we kind of... We ignore death, don't we? And we ignore that sense. But it is inevitable for all of us. But and I say that in a way, it sounds very maudlin, doesn't it, to say that? But I think actually it's good to go, you know, all of us have only got limited time. So do things.
That's exactly what I think. Yeah, exactly what I thought, Tom. Because I think that, you know, my nan had a really nice life, I think. She, you know, when my aunt lives in Australia and she went and spent 6 months there.
Oh, did she?
Like three or four times with my granddad. And like they went and saw different things and went on holiday and they both worked hard. And I think that's the thing that I've been thinking more and more about their lives is that so infrequently is sort of a simple life celebrated.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So often it's like, look at these people. They've got loads of money. They've got a fast car. They're on telly. They're this, they're that. They're a movie star. Let's celebrate them. Let's worship them.
Yeah.
You know, and actually it's really, really okay to be like, these people were really in love.
Yeah.
And they had a and that was their story.
Yeah.
And he was a bricklayer and she worked in a corset factory.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was enough. And yeah. I think, I don't know, I feel like sometimes with our generation.
Oh, absolutely. There's huge pressure.
It's got to be like, it's got everything. It's like, I just want to meet someone and be, and just maybe have a dog.
Yeah.
Or.
My dad said this to me the other day. He said, and I'd never heard him, he never sort of talks like this, but he's like, I do think it's harder for your generation because there's so much pressure to be moneyed, to be, you know, I think like in our friendship group, it's not such a big deal.
No.
Like, I know people and people where I grew up, like, it's very important that you have a great car, for example.
Yeah, totally.
Things like that, you know, like,
yeah.
And you wear the best clothes and.
Yeah, or like that you've got like designer sunglasses rather than just a pair from Topshop.
Yeah, exactly. You have to be like, oh, they're just from Primark and they're nothing. Like, if you have to really apologise unless they're
a
massive brand.
That's the thing. Like, you really have to. Yeah, if you're wearing cheap clothes, as soon as someone says, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no. Oh, God. No, this is only from blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And Dad was also saying, you know, like, sort of time, the fact that we're kind of constantly rushing around. There's never any time. There's always this pressure to do more and more. It is a strange sort of world in a way. And actually, you're right. Like, it is, like, isn't that the dream? Just to fall in love, have a partner you love, have a family. Or,
that's the thing that I think I've realised.
Whatever sort.
Yeah, in the last little while of, like, going through different things in my life and ups and downs and breakups and different things. Is that you sort of go, oh, I just really want simple things. Like, yeah. You know, like the time that you and I sometimes spend in the car together. But we'll spend, like, this weekend was a bit long. But...
It was very peaceful for some of it.
Well, for me, it was lovely. Oh. But just simple things like, you know, enjoying those friendships or making the most of those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's so uncool to be...
Just ordinary.
Yeah, or to try and be content. Like, what do you want to be? Oh, I want to be a film star. I want to be this. I want to be that. Yeah. It's like, what do you want to be? Like, happy is...
Well, and I always feel like Instagram and things like that are sort of the antithesis of that because in a way they make us appreciate the moment and I think that is nice. But sometimes it's like, oh, this person's on a beach.
And I'm not.
Oh, God, I should be on a beach. Oh, my God, look at their relationship. Their relationship looks perfect. I should be more like them. I think it's at its best when we go, hey, I just took a moment. I just realised I'm just having this lovely meal. But at the same time, the sense like everything is perfect in my life. Then that, I think, is quite...
And do you find that... Does that sort of... for me, that sometimes sort of seeps into, like, it becomes sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy of me creating more anxiety for myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes you start putting, I don't know, like, weight on the wrong things.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like, oh, I suppose they're all having a great time, or, like, what's happening is... all those people are together. Is there a party? Is there something I've not been invited to? Is there...
Yeah,
able to find that sort of personal contentment.
It's so
great. Really, really hard. And then when you do, I would say that I have flashes of it rather than I live.
Yeah, me too. When I have it, I'm like, oh, this is what I need to.
Yeah. And it can be really satisfying. Just reading a book or something.
Was your nan like that?
My nan ended up spending quite a lot of time by herself because she'd been widowed for 26 years.
Right.
And so she spent quite a lot of time on her own. And I think she sort of grew to sort of quite enjoy. Those moments, she was very lucky in that my mum is amazing and she spent loads and loads of time with her all of the time because she wanted to, not because she felt any sort of obligation because my nan was a pleasure to be around and my aunt as well. And I think that, there was a real stillness to her at the end where she knew, like I walked into her bedroom a couple of days before she passed away and I said, you're all right, Nanny. And she went, this is a bloody game, isn't it?
Oh.
It was just like that. That was just her thing of like, and she just sort of knew that. And I think there was a real sense of understanding that's you do only have time for so much. And I think just looking through her things, you know, I live in London and I do this comedy stuff, and you know, and you're sort of chasing this idea or chasing this big dream of what your life might be or what you want to become, and you know, and so infrequently do I think, oh, this is. Do I appreciate it? I think that I'm great and I think that it's lucky, but I think maybe if there's this one sort of thing that I've learned, or not one thing, but something maybe that hopefully that I can take from my nan is just that she had such a happy life just doing nice things.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
and what being nice place to be, and when I say doing nice things, I don't mean going out to dinner or going to fancy restaurants. Just falling in love, having a very simple.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that is where sort of happiness can lie.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I think that the rest is just noise, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
The rest
it is
just noise and consumerism and all the stuff that we need.
Buy more stuff.
Does that make you happy? Well, what about if you buy this thing?
Yeah, maybe you need to buy more stuff. Yeah, yeah. Just so, I think just everybody just calming down.
Yeah. And appreciating people.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing as well. Like, and you know this happens when you go through anything big, like, you know, losing someone. You know, your friends that are there for you in those moments, you sort of go, ah, these are the people that I really want to sort of celebrate in my life. These are the people that once this sort of like dark cloud has lifted and I'm back to being Susie, you want to make the most of, like you sending my mum flowers and always being in touch with me and being so lovely. It highlights those things that are so much more important than wearing the best clothes or going to the posh restaurants.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's like, God, what, you're going to go to the posh restaurant with someone that's really fucking dull but has got loads of money?
People do that as well. they do that loads.
Go to the Pizza Hut buffet.
Go to the Pizza Hut buffet and enjoy
it. With some really good friends.
Do you know what, though? That is literally my dream. Like, I love those bacon bits.
Oh, Tom.
So
much. I know. You love a harvester.
I love a harvester.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
I love it so much.
My cousin's a chef in the one in Portsmouth.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't even have the energy to go up with it. I just went,
what? Next time we're in Pompey, I'll take you there. My cousin Nikki's one of the chefs.
I love their flame grilled chicken.
Wow, she does it.
And the ribs?
I imagine so. I imagine she does a bit of everything, to be honest. She's always worked in kitchens.
What does she think about harvester?
I think she likes it there. I think apparently it's a real good laugh. Everyone's quite good fun.
Are they?
Yeah.
They've gone through a bit of an expansion. I've seen them cropping up in a lot of more modern...
Them and Bella Italia.
Them and Bella Italia, since they put a Vespa in the doorway.
They're going up in the world.
They're going up and up. I used to love a harvester early bird deal. That was the birthday treat.
When you were a child or...?
When I was a child, you got in before 5:30. You got a third, I think, of your meal.
And it would be people with very young children or very elderly people.
Yes.
That's it. Everyone else is busy at that time.
Everyone else is busy. It was great.
Would you have had dessert?
Yes.
What?
Some sort of hot fudge, chocolate, ice cream.
Type thing.
I was quite a fat child, actually.
Why? No, I've seen pictures of you. You were not a fat child.
Yeah, yeah.
You had curtains, though.
I did have curtains at one point, yeah. We all did. It was the era.
I mean, sometimes I do in the wind with my hair like this now.
Indeed. Yes, that's true.
Occasionally I get curtains.
But we all do. We all get curtains in the end.
We all get... It's curtains.
It's curtains, it's curtains for all of us.
That's quite a funny way to end an episode on grief. It's curtains for us. But I thought that we'd share that with you today because I know that normally our like-minded friends it's a bit more light-hearted and it's maybe a bit funnier.
We kept the energy up.
I think we kept the energy
they
up.
They weren't mine.
But maybe one of you has been going through something similar to me and that was nice for you, so.
Well, I think that's very important to share that. And I think as well, I remember feeling it when my grandmother died. Not that it's always about grandmothers, obviously, but I remember feeling actually very heartened by having people around.
And yeah.
That, I always think it's a nice thing in Jewish culture where people sit shiva.
Yes, yes.
And come and sit with...
Yeah, my housemate's Jewish.
And yeah.
Yeah, and then she was saying about that the other day,
tell stories and talk. And I've heard other people as well talk about how, and it sounds similar to what you and your family experienced, is that actually those moments... can be very upbeat and can be very strangely.
Yeah.
And there is that sort of hilarity in a lot of it as well. Just because it's, and everybody, of course, there's something quite funny about everybody so serious.
Yeah, of course. And we're a real giggly family. We're a really fun family. Yeah. And so just doing little things to, and I know that my nan would have been, you know, if whatever happens afterwards, who knows? But if in some way she was watching, she would have been having a right giggle.
Yeah.
At me and all of us there in her flat.
Yeah.
You know, filled with so much love for her.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I think that was, quite special.
And that's all any of us can do, isn't it? There's no, like I said, there's no shame and there's no, there's no sort of, not shame, but no regret in that.
Yeah. I think there's also this idea of often... certainly with British culture of like stiff upper lip and don't show your emotions and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I cried on the tube this week. I don't mind telling you, Tom. I had a little tear on the tube. And do you know what? It was completely fine. A girl leant over and gave me a Kleenex. It was fine.
Oh, I think she leant over and gave you a kiss. That's forward.
Say, oh, hello, love.
Oh, hello.
But Yes. Oh,
well, I wanted to read out a message we got, actually.
Oh, yes, please.
JJ sent us on,
hello, JJ,
on Facebook. And he's from Sussex. And he wanted to get in touch with us. He got in touch with us on Sunday and said, no doubt you get endless notes like this, but hell, I'll send it anyway.
JJ, I love your style.
JJ, we appreciate this already. And, you know, in line with what we were saying earlier, do things. If you want to do things, do things. Don't worry about it. He says, I just wanted to say thank you to you and Susie for recording such sparky and joyful podcasts. Well, we try. I've been in the midst of a rough patch. But listening to you both each night has always made me smile. You both have a marvellous energy and chemistry. And for me, it's great to hear LGBT+. Is that what we say now? LGBT+.
I think so, maybe, yeah. Just everyone.
I hope you haven't
You're
got it wrong,
guys.
JJ, because that's terrible. No, it's not. It's great to hear LGBT plus people talking about the real LGBT plus world from a more thoughtful and positive perspective rather than the standard misery of the grinder generation. Tell me about it. Anyway, you're both life affirming and the role models I wish I'd had when I was younger. So cheers to you both, and here's to many more. I hope to catch you both live soon, or I hope to catch you both live soon, to bask in the glow for real.
Thank you, JJ.
That's such a sweet, such a very, very kind message, and we really
appreciate
touched
it.
By that.
Yeah, we've had a few emails as well this week that I'll be responding to soon. And again, if you want to get in touch with us, it is chat2likeminded friends@gmail.com.
So do send us a message, or on Facebook, or whatever you like.
Yeah, we're both
like.
On Facebook.
We love hearing from people. And we hope we can be, well, I don't know about role models, but...
Friends.
Friends, you know, to go through it all with. And, you know, it is nice to reach out to people. So we are here for you if you need us.
And if you want to get in touch with Tom on Twitter, you're at
Tom Allen Comedy.
Tom Allen Comedy. And website,
tomindeed.com.
Correct.
Yes.
And then I'm at Susie Ruffle or susieruffle.com. Now, should I do a little plug for our tour shows? We've got a handful
left.
We've
got a handful left. If you have a chance, do come along and see us.
So Friday the 12th of May, the Shoreham Rope Tackle.
Shoreham by Sea.
Yep. Saturday the 13th.
Sounds like a sexual disease, sorry.
We always say it, but we know it's true.
But it's true.
Saturday the 13th of May, Blackheath Halls. That's our big London one. It's the closest one to London. It's only 7 or 8 minutes from London Bridge.
Indeed.
So if you want to come, please do.
Yeah,
undoubtedly. If you do, please stick around. We'll probably have a drink afterwards and say hello. Yeah. We love all that.
Yeah.
Then on Saturday the 27th of May, Milton Keynes.
Milton Keynes.
Friday the 23rd of June, Great Torrington, The Plough.
Yes.
And then our final tour date. Tom. Well, we gig together again, I know, but...
We will.
Of our wonderful tour. Our final date would be in Ivy Bridge at the Watermark Theatre.
Oh, yes.
But that's it
down,
for us this
down
week.
That way. Yeah, so that's us.
Like my friends.
We love hearing from you. We love you joining us. So thank you for being our like-minded friend.
And we will see you next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.